are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So we're talking about PTSD in our mental health awareness segment this morning, and today we want to focus on PTSD in children. Now, PTSD is not just an issue, because young people can also suffer from trauma, sometimes in ways that go unnoticed. So how can we recognize the signs and provide the right support? And this is what we're talking about in today's conversation with Pearline Coughlin from the Vista Clinic, joining us once again. Pearline, good morning and welcome back.
Good morning, Bongi, and good morning to all our listeners. What a pleasure to be back this morning.
I hope you're warm wherever you are. It's a bit of a
Yes, Bongi, in this Gauteng weather, we have to.
Honestly, we can't really be in winter though already. Can we? Is it possible? Is this winter
Yes, we're on our way. We're strongly on our way. And I really would advise everyone at this moment. Well, I'm not a weatherman, but it's possible that we are actually going to see cold, much colder weather than this, which is exciting. I love the cold, Bongi.
I was not mentally prepared for this. I thought we had some time, but okay. All right, we're here now. But anyway, let's get into our conversation for today. So we're talking about
Absolutely.
PTSD in children. How does it present differently compared to adults?
You know, Bongi, PTSD in children can present quite differently in children compared to adults. And, you know, this is due to the difference in emotional development, cognitive ability, and also just how the trauma is processed. And we'll find that with children, for example, they often re-experience symptoms. So, you know, they may not have clear flashbacks like adults, but they often reenact the trauma in play or drawings. And when they have nightmares, they may not have, you know, recognizable trauma content, but the nightmares can be present. Okay. And children may avoid reminders, you know, but it's often less obvious. In adults, for example, they will avoid places, people, or situations, but with children, that is less obvious. And you'll see it rather where they lose interest in play or activities, they withdraw socially, or they just show a decline in their school performance. Some children, you'll see that they become very irritable, they have outbursts of aggression, for example. They have trouble concentrating and also sleep disturbances. You know, it's a very pertinent way to show us that, you know, the child is experiencing or maybe re-experiencing some of the symptoms as well. They often show regressive behavior, you know, like bedwetting, thumb sucking, clinginess, or maybe even a new fear completely unrelated to the trauma. And this is very important for parents to notice as well. You know, and children don't have the vocabulary to express negative thoughts or emotions clearly, and therefore it's so important to, as a parent or as a caregiver, just to take note of this as well. And with trauma, you know, it can disrupt attachment, their trust in the world, their self-concept, and even neurological development. So, you know, with long-term effects, if it is untreated before, it's so, so important that if we notice trauma in children, we take care of it immediately, actually.
And what are some common signs of PTSD, especially in young children?
You know, in young children, Bongi, especially, you know, if they're under the age of 7, PTSD can go, you know, many ways, and often it's mistaken for other developmental or behavioral issues. So they often, they engage in what we call trauma-themed play, where repeated play that reflects the trauma, for example, crashing toys if they witnessed a car accident, or they have scary dreams that may not directly, you know, represent the trauma, but you can see. So, for example, if they say that they had a nightmare, or they'll describe to you a very scary dream, or they, you know, it may also come out in drawings or stories or just play. They tend to also avoid people and places, but their social interaction really becomes very compromised. They lose interest in things they used to enjoy, and also it's very difficult for them to say how they feel, or even just, you know, what they're going through. And this is what makes it so complex when we deal with children and trauma. They sometimes appear on edge, they have sleep problems, falling asleep is a problem. and staying asleep as well. And then also concentration sometimes is a very, very big thing with children in school, or just sitting still. You know, sometimes we'll say, sit still to a child, but that is actually, it may just be an indication that some, you know, something deeper is going on related to the trauma. And also in young children, something that is very important to note, Bongi, especially if they've been potty trained, is when they have toilet accidents or a consistent bed wetting, you know, when they've surpassed this phase already, the developmental milestone where, you know, they've been potty trained and suddenly they have grown it, but suddenly we see this behavior back. And we also find that they always want to sleep with caregivers again. So they can become very clingy, and it's really about the need for safety. Some of them will even say, I have a stomach ache or a headache, and we do see some physical complaints as well.
Sure. Wow. Now, how do parents and teacher caregivers support a child with PTSD?
You know, support with children, Bongi, and also our listeners, it takes a lot of patience and consistency, and really also a trauma-informed approach. So for parents, it's about creating that safe space and also a predictable environment. You know, so routine is very important, for example, to make sure that the same thing happens at the same time every day, sticking to sleeping routines, you know, eating routines, as change for them can suddenly be very, it has very big impact on them. And it's important for parents to be emotionally available for the children, to listen without judgment, you know, and if they do talk about their feelings, just to reassure them that they're not alone, and also just to validate their feelings, to say to them, you know, it's normal to feel that way. It's okay. I understand. You know, and also just to say that when I'm here, you're safe. Oftentimes, a very big thing that as adults we don't realize is that if we are stressed out, children pick up on that as well. So it's very important even for parents to seek help, you know, if they don't completely know how to deal with a child that has experienced PTSD. For teachers, more or less the same. It's to make sure that the child is supported in the classroom and to know about trauma. In other words, be trauma-informed. So, you know, sometimes it's a challenge when it seems like the child is zoning out. We find that in classes often. And then, you know, the child may come across as defiant. But a teacher would know, would just gently redirect instead of, you know, applying harsh discipline, just to make sure that the child is on track, and to listen to them, to offer breaks, for example, and also just to foster open communication if you are the teacher that takes care. You know, a thing with trauma that is very important, Bongi, is if the parent and the teacher can communicate, or any other caregiver, to know what is happening so that they can communicate and give feedback to each other on a constant basis.
I was saying earlier to the listeners that I feel like sometimes kids start acting up and, you know, certain behaviors start showing up where our first response, I don't know about the rest of the world, but generally in Africa, our first response would be to discipline this child. This child doesn't know, you know, how to show respect, and this child, you know, whatever. And that's that for a long time, that has been our first response as parents or as teachers, as elders. This child needs to be disciplined. But I'm glad we're having these conversations to just point out that it's not always just a child acting up out of nowhere. In fact, in most cases, there's a reason behind it, and the better thing would be to figure out what is happening.
Yes, absolutely, yes, Bongi. You are so, so right, you know, and what's beautiful about what we're doing is that we're raising the consciousness of not only our listeners, but also of the world. So many people are listening, and people get to know. There's so much information available these days, and we encourage people to know, because if we know, then we know how to deal with what is happening as well. So information and just knowledge around these things are really so important.
Absolutely. Now, speaking about therapy now, are there any specific therapies designed for children with PTSD?
Yes, there are quite a few. I'll mention them. You know, we find what we call trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy. It's TFCBT. You know, and this is usually the gold standard for treating PTSD in children and adolescents up to the age of 18, when there's a combination of cognitive behavioral techniques with trauma-sensitive strategies as well. And it would involve both the child and the caregiver. And it would include things like psychoeducation, relaxation, emotion regulation, you know, trauma narration, in other words, how we speak about the trauma, and then also cognitive processing. is what we call child parent psychotherapy, CPP, you know, where it's designed for young children, more or less from the ages of 0 to 5 years, and their caregivers as well. And this is about, you know, restoring the parent-child relationship as a source of safety. And it uses play and interaction to help the process the trauma for the child, and also improve attachment, especially if a child feels unsafe. And we see this obviously in the behavioral things that I mentioned from before, the behavioral elements. There's also play therapy, where, you know, it helps younger children express their emotions and experiences through play, which is their natural language, because any child would like to play. So play therapy is a very, very, very powerful tool to use when it comes to trauma as well. And very useful, especially when, you know, I don't know what to say because I'm a child, so I don't have the vocabulary. So I would, you know, in play therapy, that would be very, 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 very powerful. There's also eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing therapy. I think we spoke about this one quite a bit in dealing with anxiety as well. There's the attachment regulation and competency model as well. And then there's also the parent-child interaction therapy, you know, for young children with PTSD, where they coach parents in real time to improve the attachment, and also, you know, see behavioral outcomes when they actually work with the child and they get to respond in time, you know, in terms of when the therapist is not there, how the parent deals in with the therapy. But very interesting stuff in quite a few. Yeah, those are a few that I could mention for you.
Interesting. Okay. Now, can childhood PTSD have long-term effects if it's left untreated? Does it follow you into adulthood?
Yes, unfortunately, it does. So, you know, it can lead to a wide range of long-term effects emotionally, physically, and socially. And because childhood is a key period for brain and emotional development, trauma that isn't addressed, it can eventually disrupt, you know, that growth in lasting ways. And, you know, some impacts, just to mention to you, is like emotional and psychological effects. We sometimes, if it's untreated, it can lead to chronic anxiety, depression, or other mood disorders as well, or just where people never learn how to emotionally regulate. They find it very difficult to manage their anger, sadness, or fear, and they often struggle with a low self-esteem as well. And sometimes, you know, increases their risk of self-harm or suicidal thoughts in adolescence and in adulthood as well. Definitely has an impact in cognitive and academic issues, where, you know, if you have concentrating, then obviously, you will struggle at school because here you have to pay attention, you have to use your memory. So, you know, poor school performance, for example. There's also the increased likelihood of substance abuse or aggression and defiance. And sometimes, you know, especially in adolescence, where people will display risky behaviors. And then also physical health problems, you know, many people who leave it unattended will have a higher risk of chronic health conditions like heart disease and diabetes, and also autoimmune diseases, you know, like in anxiety, for example, that we spoke about, and then also social disorders and chronic pain. And then lastly, Bongi, also social and interpersonal impact. Many people who don't deal with trauma will have problems with intimacy, boundaries, or emotional closeness in future relationships. And they may have attachment issues and also difficulty trusting others. And really the basis thereof is because, you know, the sense of safety has never been restored. And so the world is almost always seen as an unsafe place. I have to check it out. I have to look out. And, you know, this is the ways that, you know, it can affect us if we don't deal with it at a very young age or soon that it happens as children.
Sure. And then that constant state of just, you know, trying to be in control and try to protect oneself at all times, that becomes the new, quote unquote, the new normal.
Yes, absolutely. And for, you know, hypervigilance in adulthood, where I'm always on alert, I always want to protect, which is also a very normal and natural survival mode. But for, we've learned now with anxiety, for example, it will be a constant way of living, and it becomes many people's new normal.
Sure. So it can't go away by itself, PTSD. It has to be treated.
Bongi, it has to be treated, yes, you know, and oftentimes we underestimate the impact of not treating it. And if I mention the long-term effects, which really we should be taking note of. So especially when it comes to children and you know, parents are aware that something has happened, is to try and not leave it unattended. There's so much help available, you know, pediatricians who specializes in mental health, they're really available. And it's really just for parents to reach out and to find and to ask help where this is concerned, especially when it comes to little kids.
So one thing I just want to ask you as we're wrapping up, we see, you know, even in our earlier conversations, we talked about how an episode, something can affect one person in one way and affect another person in a different way. So something that might not be traumatic to this child could be very traumatizing to that other child, right? And so now when I'm looking at small children like toddlers or even babies who can't even speak yet, and some things that can happen to them, maybe that are not necessarily things that we as adults would call traumatic, so maybe not abuse, maybe not a horrific car crash, maybe just a scary thing that they see on TV or a toy that freaks out in some way. Sometimes I confess, sometimes it's funny, right? And I've seen this on social media as well. A toy, it scares them, and people like to, you know, record that because it's a cute, funny reaction when the child gets scared. Can that also have long-term effects, or are we making it too big of a deal now when we're now looking at things like scary toys or scary cartoons?
Yes, you know, Bongi, the big thing is to, you know, to notice the behavior of the child over time.
Okay.
And sometimes it may be a once-off experience, but it's also important that we note, like, if something goes on for a month or for longer than a month, then we know it's no more normal. That is usually what is suggested in terms of knowing that something is not right, is to look and see how long this behavior happens. Is it consistent, you know, and how intense it is as well over time? Because if you do eventually take the child to see a specialist, then you would need to explain, you know, this is what happened the first time around, and then we saw more and more intense symptoms. So usually in a month's time, if the symptoms persist, if it keeps on happening, then we know that it's something to be concerned about. But usually, you know, sometimes just small things, like you say, so that we don't overreact either as parents or caregivers. But it's important to notice how long and the intensity thereof. If it's longer than a month, then we know that we're looking at something a bit more serious.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Pearlene, for coming through. Any final thoughts that you want to share with us with regard to PTSD and children?
You know, Bongi, and just yesterday I mentioned this as well, that children, this beautiful song that Whitney Houston sings, you know, loving the children of the future, and believing in them and believing in ourselves, because this is really, childhood is such an important phase of our lives. So I would urge parents and caregivers, please take care of our precious little ones. They are the future, and we are here to love them and make them feel safe, and definitely take care of them on all levels.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much for coming through, Pearlene. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Same here, Wongi. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Wednesday.
You too. You too.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.